on this thy Sabbath day. We approach the throne of grace asking, Lord, that you lead in our lives. Lord, we know that time is winding down, and soon you will send your Son to take us home. Lord, we want to be ready when Jesus comes. We want to be fully prepared and sealed in our forehead. So, Lord, we ask that the anointing that has been sent would truly lead and guide us into all truth. And when it's all said and done, Lord, we promise to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in the wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Good morning, our brothers and sisters here in the Glendale Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's a pleasure to be here, and again, I want to thank both your pastors for the opportunity to stand in this desk to bring the Word of God. And I asked the earlier group, and it's kind of like deja vu to me, having spoken earlier and now speaking again, but have you come today to enjoy the Lord? Truly, if you have come today to have a good time in the Lord, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That truly is the highest praise. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And the fact that you made it here, say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see, the Lord is so good. He has placed on my heart from this day forward not to just preach sermons just to be preaching. But he has placed on my heart that each time I'm given the opportunity to preach the word, to preach it as if it's my last sermon. So I'm sorry. Y'all can come on down. Yeah. Because I want to see them. But in my times of preaching, I've written sermons and preached them, you know, just to get the message out. But the Lord placed on my heart that if this were your last sermon, what would you want the people to remember? And I believe that God has a fresh word for his people. I don't believe in canned sermons. Sermons I've written before and preached before, I don't believe in reaching in my file, pulling them out, and say, oh, this is a good one. I believe the Lord has a fresh word for his people. For you see, at the time that I wrote those sermons, I was preaching to a different group. But the Lord has inspired me and put on my heart what to speak to you, because he knew you would be here. And you're not here by accident. Some of you all may think that, oh, my mama drove me here and made me come. Or I was going to go to another church, but this church is closer. So the Lord has a reason for you to be here. So don't discount the fact that you are here. God has a blessing in store for you. Pray with me on the subject, looking in the wrong place. Again, Lord, I ask that you guide my lips, my mind, and my spirit as I open your word and as I speak your word. Lead me and guide me, Lord, and as I preach and teach, I also listen. Amen. We have heard it preached, and we've preached it and shared it with others, the story found in Mark chapter 14, and I hope you brought your word. We tend to get a little caught up in technology, and we put scripture on the screen, and when we say, oh, it's going to be on the screen, I don't need to bring my Bible, that's nothing but the enemy trying to separate you from your weapon. So I don't care wherever you go, whatever church you're in, whether they use technology or not, your word is what you need with you all the time. The word is your weapon against the enemy. Now, we've heard this story spoken of Mary Magdalene anointing Jesus. Let's begin at verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment and spikenard, very precious, and she break the box. Say, break the box. And poured it on his head. This is the head of Jesus. And there were some that had indignation in themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. What is the message you receive when you read this story, when you hear this story of the alabaster box? Was it the message of the expense of the ointment? Does that make you think that, well, the Lord wants expensive things to be given to him? I can't really praise and bless the Lord unless I have much to give. Or was it the fact that there was indignation in the hearts of those round about her? That your ministry, sometimes people have other things to say about it, other than blessings, other than, oh, that's wonderful what you've done. Do they say, well, why does she have to be the one up there? Why is he the one singing? I know that's none of you all that say that. That's just the other folk. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to realize that when we are doing God's will, there are those that won't be happy. One, because they're not connected, and two, because they wish they could do it. And the only reason they can't do it is because they have not given in to what the Lord has within them already, and that's his Holy Ghost. Too often, individuals look at their education, how they were brought up, what church they're in, who their parents are, and they say, well, you know, I can't get up and speak on behalf of the Lord. But God has a blessing and a message to give through each of you. You can witness. No matter how young or old you are, there are individuals that will hear you that won't hear me. Your blessing is what you have gone through in life. You don't need to know the 2300-day doctrine. You don't need to give all this highfalutin philosophy to reach people. Just tell people what God has done for you and how you believe it. And it has changed your life. That's what people are looking for. But what was the message Jesus shared with you as you read this? Was it the fact that the box was broken? What did Jesus mean by that? Let's look at verse 9. Where he says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be a memorial for her. A memorial for her. Something that Mary did for Jesus. What Jesus is saying to me through that is, what I do for Jesus is a memorial for me. That is laying up treasures in heaven. I may not get the glory down here. I don't really want the glory down here. I want to lay up treasures in heaven. And I want Jesus to get all the glory. But Jesus is saying, she did something good for me. I ask you today, what have you done for Jesus lately? Sometimes we think that coming to church on the Sabbath is for the Lord. But the word tells us the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is a blessing for you. Now your presence here is a blessing to the Lord only if you connect with the Spirit that is here. How many of you ever been in a dead church? You can tell the difference in a Holy Ghost-filled church and a dead church, without a doubt. I don't care who you are. You can go in a church and be sitting there, and something will hit you and say, boy, it's pretty dead in here. And it's, you look at your clock and say, boy, time is taking real long. But when you're in a Holy Ghost-filled church, when you're inspired, time goes by so fast. Church is out already? My. But brothers and sisters, in these days, people are looking for a breakthrough. They're looking for a harvest. They're looking for a season. They're looking for the anointing to come down on them. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, you already have the anointing. Jesus, when he was leaving his disciples, told them, I will pray the Father to send you another comforter. And he will be with you and in you. Now, don't get me wrong. I think a breakthrough in your life is a good thing. If you're going through some struggles and you get a breakthrough and you have some ease and some comfort, that's a wonderful thing. And it's wonderful to receive a harvest, to receive a blessing from the Lord in your season. But if you're looking for an anointing in any other place than in Jesus, you're wasting your time. Jesus is the only source of the Holy Ghost to come upon you. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Turn with me there. St. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. The word says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide in you, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You see, the world is looking for a physical manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit hits somebody in the world, they act a strange way to me. Whether they're flailing around on the ground, whether they're speaking in tongues, the Spirit of God brings us into all truth. And if I began to speak in a tongue that you don't understand up here, what good would I be for you? You all would look at me real strange. And if I did it long enough, the pews would empty. So to me, when the Spirit is in us, we do good for the Lord. And when we're doing good for the Lord, people want to be around us. Verses 26 and 27, it says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. But brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is not just for spiritual things. Turn to 1 John, back there near Revelation. First epistle of John, beginning at chapter 2, verse 20 and 27. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know how many things. Not just some things, not just the things pertaining to church, but all things. I asked earlier, how many times have you've possibly been in a situation, whether it be on your job, young people in school, and you say, Lord, I need your help on this test. I need your help with this thing on my job. And the Spirit gives you that holy ease, and you solve that problem. You answer that question. Brothers and sisters, the Spirit is there to give you unction in all things. Verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. Now, don't get confused here. Don't think you can do it all yourself. The teaching of man that this is talking about is man knowledge, human knowledge, physical knowledge, but spiritual knowledge can come through a servant of the Lord. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. With the Holy Spirit in your life, things change. But people in the world don't like the change that the Holy Ghost causes in our lives, because that change involves flesh. It involves dying to self and living to the Lord. Many people want just enough Jesus not to go to hell, but not enough to get the victory over self. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, what is the lust of the flesh? And if we read down beginning there in 19, we read those things that fulfill the lust of the flesh. And all those things are physical acts. But if we go down to verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the what? They have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the anointing oil that was in that alabaster box. And as long as that oil was in the box, Mary could not have anointed Jesus. But it was not until she broke the box that she was able to anoint the head of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, until we break the box, our box, the box of flesh, the box of self, we cannot be a blessing to the Lord. As we read further in Scripture, at the end of time, there will be those who have tried to do the anointing of Christ and still keep the box intact. And they will be the ones that will say, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? And the Lord will say, what? I never knew you. Brothers and sisters, until we break the box, allow the box to be broken, we cannot allow the oil of the Holy Spirit to touch others. Now, when she broke the box, the oil did not lose its value. It now was able to be used in many different ways for doing good. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. For Jesus is our ultimate example. And while Jesus was on this earth, he had the anointing as well. Verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That same Holy Ghost power that Jesus had, you have right now. You need not be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. There is no one who is connected with Jesus that if the devil walked in here today, would not have power to rebuke him. But when we look at flesh, at ourselves, we are afraid. But as Paul says, I die daily to self, that God may be raised up in me, that Christ may live his life out of me. Then I no longer walk in the flesh alone, but I walk also in the Spirit. The Spirit, the oil of the Holy Ghost, gives us an easy life. Or should I say a life of ease, not necessarily an easy life. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Jesus himself says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have rest? But we have misunderstood this text. It's not rest of the physical, but it's rest for your soul. Let's read the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Physically, we are vessels to be used by God. We have to and must work for the Lord. But we can work and not get tired, work and not get weary, because we have rest for our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's word is anointed, is it not? So when we preach and when we teach others about Jesus, we are sharing the anointing of Christ on others. David says in Psalms chapter 23, pardon me, the 23rd division of the psalm, verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In other words, I spend time with you, Lord, and it's in me. That's the sealing, brothers and sisters, that Jesus is talking about when he tells the angels to hold off just a little while until my people are sealed. In our minds, we have no doubt who we're going to follow. There are two masters, the enemy and Christ. And when you make the decided decision to follow Jesus all the way, and you are rooted and grounded in this truth, no matter what happens, and I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, stuff is going to happen. You think you've had stuff happen in your life already? There is a time of trouble coming that you right now can't even imagine. And you have to be prepared now for the trouble that's coming your way. So the things that are going on, in your life, the trials that are going on in your life, are to give you strength to endure what's about to come. That's why in James chapter 1, it says, count it joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. For the Lord will give you strength to endure them, so when that big one that he knows is coming your way, you are already prepared. That's the one thing I truly love about God. He has made it so easy for us to make it to glory. First off, he created us. That's a wonderful thing. He created us in his image, in the image of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then when humankind messed up, he sent his son to pay the penalty for sin for us. And then just to make sure, because the son had to go home, and because I'm sure while Jesus was on this earth, not only was the devil messing with him, he was in heaven saying, Father, you know, you got to leave those people alone. They're just, you know, look what they're doing. Look how they're treating your son. But Jesus went home and said, Father, I love my people. I've sacrificed my life. Was my sacrifice worthy? And God says, yes. But he sent us another comforter, his spirit, to lead us and guide us into all truth. So there is no excuse for us not to make it to heaven. It's your choice. You decide. If you decide not to adhere and listen to the Holy and the wooing of the Holy Ghost, you can't blame anybody but yourself. God, would that we all come into the knowledge of the truth. No one has to tell you or should tell you that they're anointed. If I stood up here and said, you know, I am anointed son of God, and I'm here to preach to you, that's very condescending. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've just allowed myself to be a vessel. You've allowed yourself to be a vessel. But if I use the fact of my anointing to make you look at me differently, I have missed the point. For Scripture says, the Holy Spirit glorifies God. So if I'm going to glorify God, you shouldn't even see me. You have to see me because you're physical. But it shouldn't be about me, and it's not about me. It's about him. When you leave here, Elder O'Bannon spoke. No. The Lord was in this place. That's what I want you to say. That's the spirit that I want you to have. I've heard it said that the anointing is worth whatever it takes to get it. That's the physical, brothers and sisters. You have the anointing. What God wants us to do is develop ourselves to let the anointing flow out of us. And as I said earlier, the box has to be broken. And there's two ways for the box to be broken. The box can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock can fall on the box and break it. I prefer the former. I'd prefer the fall on Jesus, who is the rock, and be broken to self, than to have Jesus come in the clouds of glory and fall on me and say, depart from me into everlasting darkness. Jesus loves us, brothers and sisters. God loves us. That's why he has given us the anointing of his spirit. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When someone is spiritual, when someone is on a mission from God, the spirit that is within you connects with the spirit that is within them. If I was up here talking about the 8 days of the week and the 36 hours in the day, would that make sense? You all would look at me pretty strange. Say, where is he coming from? 4 + 4 = 9. It doesn't make sense. But when the truth is out there and you have read the truth, studied the truth for yourself, when the enemy comes in and tries to slide a little evil misdirection with the truth, you know it. They say that those who are in the business of detecting counterfeit money, they don't study the counterfeit, they study the original. And they know the original so well that when the counterfeit comes, it just stands out like a sore thumb. You and I, brothers and sisters, have the original. And if we're ever in the presence of someone who is preaching false doctrine, don't stay there and say, well, I'll just listen to the good part. What goes in somehow comes out later. And that's all the devil wants you to do is listen and be confused and confounded and not be sure. But the word of God is truth. It's clear for any age to understand. Then chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The Spirit is with us all right now, brothers and sisters. God loves us, and he's working through us, but the Spirit of God will not always strive with men. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. There is coming a time when the Spirit that is drawing you to pray, drawing you to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others, if you don't hear it, will get quieter and quieter and quieter. And the withdrawing of the Spirit is not the Spirit drawing away, it's you moving away. Just like young people, when your mom and dad are telling you stuff you need to do and you get further and further away. I don't hear you, Mom. What? Soon you will turn a deaf ear to the Spirit if you don't allow yourself to be connected. Again, Galatians 4 and 16, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In closing, I want to share two verses with you. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Paul says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Pray for one another, brothers and sisters. And to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That should be our message to everyone, brothers and sisters. Wanting everyone to come into the knowledge of the truth, to be able to speak of God and do a good thing in themselves, for others, on behalf of God. And then David says in the 127th division of Psalm, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. That sleep is rest. God does not want you to get up early worrying about life, struggling all through the day. That's where ulcers come from. That's where heart attacks come from. That's where brain tumors come from. But if you had a holy ease in life, just thought ahead, Lord, what do you have in store for me today? And just looking for the blessing the Lord wants to wrought in your life. And when the day is over and you look back on the day and say, boy, the Lord just blessed me to be able to do this. When you go and lay down to sleep, you can rest. You can rest. And that's rest for your soul and for your body. Finally, brothers and sisters, I say, walk worthy of your anointing. Let the Spirit of God that lives in you give you that holy ease. Not only for yourself, for when the oil is broken, the smell, if I had a spikenard up here, I could break it up here and it would just exude through this room. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead in your life, it blesses you. And it blesses others. So let it bless others. Give others peace through you. and truly give rest to your soul. Today, there may be someone who has heard a word from the Lord and hasn't really understood in the past how God wanted to direct their lives, how God wanted to lead in their lives, how God wanted them to be a vessel to be used by God. But somehow today, the Spirit has moved in your life. The Spirit has given you the unction to know that I can be used by God. No matter how old, how young I am, I can be used by God. And today I'm ready to make the decision to give all to God. If there's someone here today who says, I have not done for the Lord all that I can, and today I want to make the statement, not only to God and to those in heaven, but to those in this audience, that I want to be a vessel to be used by God. If that's your wish and desire, I'm going to ask you to come down front. Song says, time after time, He has waited before, and now He is waiting again. All He wants to do is to see if you're willing to open the door. The question is, what is your answer to Him? Is your answer, Lord, I believe I'm good enough just the way I am. I believe I know enough that when you come, you will look at me and be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if you can't say that, brothers and sisters, you need to make that statement. You need to make that change in your life today, praise the Lord. God wants individuals, God bless you, individuals who will say, no matter what, I am going to work on behalf of the Lord. Now, there have been times I've been where you are and heard an appeal about serving the Lord. And I say, well, I'm the first elder of the church. Surely He's not talking to me. Brothers and sisters, positions, God bless you, positions don't mean a thing with God. God bless you. Positions don't mean a thing with God. Man looketh on the outward, but God looketh on the heart. God bless you. This is the blessings of God. Praise the Lord. When Jesus comes, I want to be able to say, this is my God. This is my Lord. I have waited for Him. Not so much, praise the Lord, brother. Not so much for what I've done, but what He's done in me and through me and for me. God bless you. God bless you. God is so good. God is so good. And when, God bless you, when He blesses others through you, that blessing comes from Him through you to others. So you get the blessing too. Too often we want to hold the blessing of the Lord. Say, I need this for me. God did not give you the blessing
just for yourself. He allowed you to receive the blessing to share with others. The time is coming when we must stand, not as a congregation, not as a denomination, but as individuals for the Lord. The anointing that God has given you is powerful enough, is strong enough to make you and allow you to be able to stand in the end. But what you have in you right now is not enough for what's going to be happening in the end. You have to develop it. Just like your physical muscles, if you stop eating, if you stop working out, what do they call that when you wave? Bingo arms? Let me stop. I'm sorry. You lose the power. You lose the strength. That's why we must be in the Word of God daily. Daily. Now, I'm not going to tell you how much you have to do. The Spirit will move you in that area. But you must. If you are not in the Word of God daily, brothers and sisters, you're missing it. You're missing the blessing. You're missing the holy anointing that will make your life easy. My last appeal. For those who have already decided, and I'm going to pray for this group up here in a very special way. But for those that have already been baptized, those that have made that statement, and the young lady that got baptized and her daughter, I praise the Lord for that today. That's a blessing. All heaven rejoiced. But baptism, brothers and sisters, is just the beginning. Baptism is not graduation. A lot of times we look at baptism as graduation. Okay, now I'm in the household of faith. I can do whatever and be however. No, that's just the beginning. When Jesus was baptized, he didn't just stop. He then began to do his real work. He's coming soon, brothers and sisters. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Remember, the Spirit gives us power in all things. And we must be faithful in all things. Father God, in Jesus' name, there are those, Lord, that have come down front to make a physical and visible statement to us and to all heaven that they are now putting themselves on the battlefield for Jesus. Lord, I pray that the Spirit that you have already given them began to grow stronger as they study your word. Begin to grow stronger as they witness for you in their homes, on their jobs, and school. Lord, you said your word will not return unto you void. So we need not fear sharing the word of God. We already know that the devil, as a roaring lion, is out there seeking whom he may destroy. But when we have the armor of God on, we are able to withstand the wiles of the devil and be able to pluck, as David did, those lambs out of the mouth of the lion, out of the mouth of the bear, without fear of our own lives, because the Spirit of God lives within us. Lord, I pray a special prayer upon this congregation. We know that in the end times, perilous times shall come. But I pray that each one under the sound of my voice will be so connected with thee that they may bend, but Lord, they won't break. Bless us, keep us, and Lord, in the last days, allow the latter rain, that latter anointing, to fall upon us. Not just on us, for the fact of anointing, but Lord, because we have been using the anointing we already have. And you know in the last days we'll need more power. Bless, Lord, I ask the pastors of this church, as they are doing their varied work in other places, lead them and guide them as they shepherd over this flock. And when it's all said and done, Lord, we all promise to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in the wonderful and glorious and saving name of Jesus. Let us all say together, amen and amen.
There's a song that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. That's all the Lord wants to do, is bless you and keep you and make it, allow his face to shine upon you. God bless those of you that came down. And God will continue to bless you if you're faithful in all that you do. For you truly are anointed children of a living God. God bless you.